Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show. Middays 9 a.m. to noon on The Score. Reasonable, level-headed, informed sports talk for your workday.
When we saw the weak side rim protection from Patrick Williams, what are we seeing there? We're seeing a compliment to Vooch, aren't we?
Yep.
And we're seeing the turnover-creating presence of Caruso in the steals. We're seeing a compliment to Lonzo Ball, especially that transition game that we talk about. It's trying to figure out how all these pieces work together to create the whole.
Dan Bernstein.
The Bears just offend us sometimes. How hard is it to say, yeah, we sucked and that's a win, but it's still not where we want to be, instead of saying, well, you know, we lost a bunch of games, and we're good at losing a bunch of games, and we grew so close together in this after this horrible loss. I mean, it gets more offensive in contrast when you hear people be just brutally honest about how they are and who they are, instead of trying to paper everything over with empty words.
Layla Rahimi.
This is where my eyes were supposed to be. This is where they are telling them to go. What is that message? That message isn't him telling you what he's thinking. That's him telling you what he's told to think.
Stan Bowman has stepped aside. Rocky and I appreciate Stan's dedication to the Black and his many years of work for the team. However, we and he ultimately accept that in his first year as general manager, he made a mistake.
Chicago Blackhawks are more than just a hockey team to me and my family. We are a community that's built on the trust and support of our fans, players, employees, and partners. This is why we were so troubled to learn about these very serious allegations made by a former player, and is why we commissioned the law firm of Jenner & Block to conduct an independent investigation into these events. To be clear, neither myself nor Danny knew anything about these allegations until we received word that a lawsuit was being filed.
The Bernstein and Rahimi Show, middays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And we've moved some things around from our regular Wednesday schedule because of the significance of the story that we're going to be discussing today. We will talk some football with Mike Florio at 10 and with Hub Arkish at 11. And there could be some surprises along the way as well. But we know what's going to be the primary subject of our conversation today. 312-644-6767 is our number at Sports Radio 670. That we call the Score listener line. It's powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. If you would like to send an email, that goes to BernsteinRahimi at 670thescore.com. You listen to us live there, and thank you for doing so. We are streaming at 670thescore.com. Texting is in the text zone. Brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. When you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter's at Bernstein Rahimi. She is at Layla Rahimi. I'm at Dan underscore Bernstein. Do download the Odyssey app to stream The Score on your mobile devices. If you have a stomach for it, you can interact on Facebook. If you haven't deleted Facebook already, like a good citizen. And Twitch is the easy place if you get in on the conversation. If you just want to hang out and watch us and see what is happening sort of as we speak, we call it the show within the show that goes on at twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. It is Evan Thomas and Connor O'Donnell who moderate that chat and direct the video feed as well. We have Rick Camp, our executive producer. Mike Rankin is on the board. Ray Diaz, as always, doing yeoman's work, helping out with the things that he does. And I apologize if I was monopolizing the conversation during transition, but I'm dealing with a lot of stuff here. I know it's not about me, and the last thing I want to do is want to make it about me, but so many emotions are stirred up from what happened with Penn State. So many personal emotions are stirred up because of the outsized presence that particular Blackhawks team has had for us and for my relationship with my son, and hours and hours and hours spent from the time he was 5 years old to now at almost 17, of all the car rides and all of the ups and the downs and the times we spent talking in because of Penn State, talking to him about if a coach ever says this, if a coach ever asks you to do this, if you're ever alone, the number of youth coaches that he's had on 22 different USA Hockey affiliated teams that he's played for. Tell us, feel like you can to always tell us. If something happens with a teammate, tell us. From the time he was 7 years old, the amount of effort to understand some of these things, and to then, after the fact, know what was happening with the Blackhawks is just such a gut punch.
Well, the number one job of a parent is to keep their child safe. And when you're reading a 100-page report about how a player was not only a victim but not kept safe, and the people who instead turned away in the name of a playoff run, why wouldn't you have those feelings? A playoff run that you thought meant something to you, and then you feel guilty for feeling that feeling.
Yeah, I do, and my feelings of my time with hockey with my kid can stand independently of that. They can, and they should, and they will, and that's okay. But it's just knowing what was going on and how many others were probably victimized by that guy and other people, it makes it hard. And it's been so hard for any of us in sports, because whether it's been Larry Nassar or whether it's been Richard Strauss, hell, on my timeline, I can't even look at news without seeing Jim Jordan's smug face, knowing what he did, actively covering this stuff up. And so many threads lead back to this kind of pain. And every time you see Simone Biles or Ali Raisman, or now people with University of Michigan under Bo Schembechler, and it just never ends. It really is tiresome after a while because of so much pain.
It's an abuse of power, and people's lives get ruined because of it. And that's the takeaway.
Okay.
John Doe's nothing about this suit, nothing about this report can bring that time back for John Doe. You can't undo that. But okay. at least they didn't redact the report, the Blackhawks. They're seemingly taking a turn when it comes to how they're looking at this. But let's go back to the beginning of this when it came out. And what did the Blackhawks say? They said it lacked merit. That those claims lacked merit. They were still, even then, trying to cover this up. This thing that they didn't want to say happened.
Quenneville lied, and numerous players, some who are here and some who are not here. And I don't have exactly when they said what they said, but there were some very quick, facile, oh, I didn't hear anything about that. And then they were gone. Or I didn't hear anything about that, and the question stopped. Well, yeah, you did, and we know you heard about it. And some of the people who said they didn't hear about it were the same people calling this guy the F-word at scrimmages, plural, and hazing him over it at multiple practices and after practices and in the locker room. And everybody was there. Everybody saw it.
And you two talking, you and Molly talking about the insular culture piece of this? Notre Dame did not comply with this investigation. Did you see that piece of that news? That when When contacted about this, Notre Dame did not cooperate.
The NHL Players Association hasn't lifted a finger.
Really glad to see that players union is on the player side.
They haven't done a thing. Now that said, I think you are correct in that as these things go for a privately funded, requested, backed inquest, it's pretty good. And I laud Reed Schar and Jenner and Block and the Rocky and Danny Wirtz. There is some cosmetic aspect here. We can debate who knew what and who should have known what. But as these private internal things go, this is pretty good. And they did allow for the documents to be shared and for witnesses obviously to speak. Unfortunately, because I don't have that phone anymore, or we didn't save emails, that the time frame prevents us from getting screenshots of a lot of this stuff. And the emails, for example, that the Free Report had of Schultz talking to Spanier and everything. But it raises so many questions. And I know you were asking in the pre-show that we have to really confront, did the Blackhawks do enough? Have they done enough in the wake of this? What more can they do other? The only thing that I have underlined is Jonathan Toews needs to be made available, and or Patrick Kane, but particularly the captain, needs to be made available to any and all questions as long as there are questions, and they need to be answered honestly.
The reason this is all coming out partially isn't just because of the lawsuit. It's because of a criminal case that occurred. And when you hear that part of it, too, that's... We need to hear from Toews. We need to hear from Quenneville. We need to hear from Shovel Dayoff. Like, everybody who was mentioned in that secret meeting needs to talk. And that was the first question you remember we had, was who knew? Who knew and what did they know? Well, it turns out there's a lot of people who knew. And they knew everything. And they didn't care.
Read the report. I know you have, I have, and it just ends up with a lot of names, a lot of information swirling in our heads. And I'm not a lawyer, so I'm not trained to read such things. Unfortunately, I have more experience than many non-lawyers may have in reading some of these things. And it's not fun, but read it. Just like I used to urge people to read the Free Report. I am encouraged by the fact that, unlike what happened at Penn State, we are not now confronted with an army of Blackhawks fans caping for the organization. And I guess I should come away feeling okay about that, that we don't have the army of Joe Botts now saying it's all lies, no one did anything wrong, he reported it to his superiors. And I think that either is a sign of progress or a sign of less cultish behavior from Blackhawks fans. And I guess baby steps. I shouldn't be too pleased with that, but I just want to note that it could be worse today.
No, I think that is important. And for people who are so convinced of the media process when you're not in the media and you want somebody to blame, we're all finding this information out together. Rick Westhead was one of the first people to start reporting on it, and that was relatively recently. Just because there are rumors doesn't mean that media knew what was going on. That's the difference between reporting and just repeating gossip that could be really, really damaging to people. So I understand people wanting somebody to blame, and there's a lot of people asking, well, the media had to have known. No. If they did, it would have been released before this. It's really that simple, but it's not that easy. And the thing that I when I took notes on this, the thing that I wrote down in all caps was that the Blackhawks wanted Brad Aldrich to have his day with the cup before they let him go.
His name's engraved on it.
And the 3 weeks in between them finding this out and then doing something about it, I thought to myself, that is an eternity for something terrible to happen. He reportedly sexually assaults somebody else, according to this report. And then, when they want to fire him, the threat is not, we're going to send you to the police. It's, we're going to investigate this, or you can resign. That is not the equivalence here.
No,
that should not be how this was discussed. No. You need to investigate it, and you need to be reported to the police, and you need to be fired. And that's how this should have gone from the moment they heard the news in May of 2010.
I appreciate these texts from the 269. Dan, please stop using the word tiresome. That's exactly what those predators want. They want people to grow so tired of it that they sit in a state of inaction. So bring it into the public conscience as if it were the first time with full energy. And you're absolutely right, and I've always tried to do that, but I also can be honest with you about in dealing with these things. And I'm not complaining, but that period of time in the wake of the even before the free report, but being what was said and what happened with the Penn State loons and that hive and the Joe bots, what happened in my personal life and my professional life and the threats that I was under, the threats that came in, the attacks that the Joe bots made, not just against me personally, but threats against my family, threats against the charity for which I've worked. I mean, that's how sick it got, that they came after a pediatric cancer charity and tried to flood computers and tried to do all that just in a way to lash out because they felt that Joe Paterno was and Penn State would be unfairly treated. It was a really, really difficult time. So when I steel myself for some of these kinds of crises, I'm just informed by that kind of reaction. And I guess I'm pleased that Blackhawks fans or there are no similar cultists in that regard, or maybe I've blocked and muted enough of them and that's a sign of a well-curated social media feed, but I even though people are sad, there doesn't seem to be as much of a pushback saying this can't be true or this part of me now is threatened and therefore I have to fight against it. I'm not seeing as much of that, and I guess that's a good thing, but it's this is not an easy day. Even if so many things went better and so many things are being better handled, I picture that room and those men in that room and how they left the room and then what happened every day later that nothing happened. Every single day that went by that they saw him at work and that John Doe had to see him at work and celebrating. And then he assaulted somebody else in that interim period of time. He assaulted somebody else. And then he went on and without any sort of red flag in his resume, he assaulted more people. It is. It shouldn't have been. It should not have been.
We'll just let you go or else we could investigate. But who wants that? Who wants the truth? For your own player who was only reportedly 20 years old.
And something that you mentioned, and I know it's going to sound like it comes from a cynical place, but I think that you're 100% right. And a couple other people who are close to me are weighing in here. And agreeing that it's impressive to hear the overall reaction of fans, but what if people liked Bowman as a collective? And what if Quenneville were still here? And what if the Blackhawks right now were really good? Do you think the reaction would be different?
Yes.
I do too.
I think the denial would be worse.
I agree. When we come back, I think we should talk about specific takeaways from the report and what stood out to you. I know you've really gone through it. You've got a lot of notes, and I think that should be our next step on Bernstein and Rahimi, Sports Radio 670, The Score.
The Blackhawks' own sexual harassment policy, which required investigation of all reports of sexual harassment to be conducted promptly and thoroughly, was violated. The failure to promptly and thoroughly investigate the matter and the decision to take no action from May 23rd to June 14th had consequences. During that period, Aldridge continued to work with and travel with the team.
That's Reed Schar of Jenner and Block, the co-chair of their litigation department, who has been an assistant U.S. attorney who graduated from Stanford Northwestern School of Law with honors, was a law review at Northwestern, and is well regarded by his peers, and I think did as good a job as any one of us could expect. And I think the Blackhawks did as well as one would reasonably expect a private company to do in the wake of commissioning something like this. We've got a couple of news notes that I want to get to before we move on here. According to Ian Rappaport of NFL.com, Khalil Mack is not expected to play this week for the Bears. The team will allow his ailing foot to rest, giving him 3 weeks while an injured reserve to heal and rehab is being discussed. And Shams Charania is reporting that Zach LaVine has a small ligament tear in the thumb of his non-shooting hand, but intends to play through the injury. According to The Athletic and Stadium, it's a matter of pain tolerance, and Zach LaVine wants to play. Anything else going on?
Yeah, this is a very, very busy news cycling day. We would have normally led with everything that was said by Jason Peters, but that today is not the day.
Yes, you declared him our coach.
Yeah, Jason Peters is my head coach. My head coach.
Okay.
I don't know who you guys' head coach is, but Jason Peters is my guy now. He speaks truth and gives player updates on injuries and is not afraid and is going to the Hall of Fame. So that's the resume. I'm glad we can at least inject a little levity into this because it is so heavy. And we didn't quite know how to tackle this, I think, Dan. We were talking about the punishment side of this and the justice side of this, at least from a hockey standpoint. What happens on that side? And then also the biggest takeaways from the report that was incredibly well done. And I would like to say a lot of times these things are redacted. And in this case, nothing was.
They still did an outstanding job protecting some anonymity. And I noticed there are people in NFL circles who read this report and are then referring to some of what Roger Goodell has said about why the Washington football team inquest isn't being released similarly. And I think it's completely fair. I do think that if this report can be done and certain anonymities were protected, it is no excuse for those who are clamoring for the NFL's investigation or the private investigation of the Washington football team for that to be released similarly. I think that's totally fair.
I'm sure we can talk about that with Mike Florio, too, because there was a public information request based on those emails that also came across from, I believe, the Federal Oversight Committee last week. But when it came to this, the thing that upset me first off was the idea that a predator got to have his day with the cop and have his name engraved. Let's let him have his day with the cop. He ruined people's lives and assaulted people at will. But let's let him take the cup to his hometown. You know, that place where he also, unfortunately, faced a criminal investigation.
It just twists the
knife.
And
was convicted.
It just twists the knife. And the victim's right there. The victim, the one, a victim, I shouldn't say the victim, a victim that we know of is right there. He has to watch that. He has to watch that. It's one thing for us to know it now after the fact, but he had to watch him take pictures with Joel Quenneville and the coaching staff. The pictures are all there. And by the way, read the report.
Yep.
And look at the pictures. If you don't, after you read the report, look at the pictures. I'm going to retweet the report right now, just sort of without comment, a link to it from Jenner.com.
And just so everybody knows, it's not as long as you think it is because of the footnotes that have to occur and the legal footnotes and the citing of sources and why they do it that way. So if you think it's a large undertaking, it's a heavy undertaking, but it's time-wise, it's not as long as you think it is, just because all the sources had to be cited. There are footnotes, there are page numbers, paragraphs, etc. And another note that I found really upsetting from this, like just the extra stuff that should make you extra mad, as if the other obvious things did not. The fact that he also got 35,622 in severance and bonus. And that severance money was after taxes. After taxes, he got a $35,000 check. To go away.
And then, and when he went away, what did he do?
Well,
he preyed on somebody else.
We don't know what he did at Notre Dame because they won't tell us.
Nope, not interested.
He received a favorable, Miami, the University of Miami at Ohio said he received a favorable reference from Notre Dame. That was as far as they got with that information. At least the University of Miami at Ohio, Miami of Ohio decided to comply. And they didn't even try to stop him from doing this to somebody else. And also, one of the most disturbing things to me about this from an organizational standpoint was how much McIsaac and McDonough just decided to shut everything down.
That's the McDonough playbook. And it this isn't the only thing with which they did that. And I have tried over the years to drop a lot of breadcrumbs on a lot of stories and a lot of things that were going on with a lot of Blackhawks teams. And their last cup champion is, and I said, one of the better professional coaching jobs that I've ever seen based on what was going on behind the scenes. But under the reign of John McDonough, this wasn't all that was covered up. This wasn't all.
And once again, the threat of either we let you go or we investigate you. You've decided whose side you want to be on. And it's his.
Yep. When you make it your own, you choose his side. Because it's in your best interest to choose his side. Because there's too much hockey going on. There are too many other things. There's too much money rolling in. It is... It's a truth with which we continue to deal. Can I read you an email? And I would be lying if I didn't say that some of this crossed my mind as well. And I think this is a well-considered email. And it comes from Stonecutter, who is usually sending us insightful Bears stuff. I'm just going to read this word for word. Significant mental trauma can result from a bunch of built-up, undischarged guilt. And when the people who you lied for and protected suddenly don't have your back when you are suffering yourself, maybe with traumatic brain injuries, it makes the somatic responses even more intense, especially when covering up those same traumatic brain injuries led in whole or in part to a teammate committing suicide. And then you're forced to tell similar lies about a teammate and supposed friend. Sometimes when people do bad things for years and years, they start to break down as covering up their ethical transgressions becomes too much to bear. A decade goes by. You realize you're a representative of an organization with so many skeletons in the closet, so many crimes committed and crimes covered up. And you start to realize that you're at the intersection of so many of these transgressions. And then mysterious physical symptoms start showing up with no explanation. You feel sick to your stomach. Your brain gets fuzzy. That sound a bit like chronic inflammatory response syndrome? I don't know the answer to that. It's my response. I can't say that's not plausible. I can't say that's unreasonable. The answer is I don't know.
We have to hear from Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane.
Yep. And when he's
like, this is all there for.
Yeah, the reference there to Steve Montador's suicide is an important one. And if you really want to start asking questions about, go back to Clint Reif. Go back to the assistant equipment manager. who hanged himself. Really start asking questions about what's going on. And there'll be a time and a place for some of that. And man, this is what I was very friendly with John McDonough for a long time. Goes back to when he was with the Cubs. He and I worked out at the same, and hell, this is absolute complete coincidence that I'm wearing a t-shirt that I got from Lehman Sports Club, where he belonged as well. It's condos now. But John and I used to see each other all the time in the locker room when we used to go, you know, and work out. We both worked out at the same club, and we talked about a ton of stuff, got a lot of insight. We used to sit, you know, maybe, you know, watch a baseball game occasionally together. And I posted the picture that we talked about earlier, and it's really hard. It's hard to know. And I'm not saying we're close friends. I'm saying, you know, we're more than just passing acquaintances. We were friendly and always liked being around him. And I had new people who worked for him and knew how difficult he could be as a boss. And I heard some of those stories and always tried to sort of reconcile that reputation with this. But now it's really hard. It makes it extra hard. And that's unfortunately life.
Would you say that perhaps because you are in a position of power with a very big radio show and a person of influence that perhaps he needed your favor?
No question.
And knowing these things?
Sure, of course. And that's politics. And he was a brilliant politician. And it always makes you feel a little used. And I think David Haw did a really nice job writing about it in his column. And that's why it also hit home with me. Like, what? And that's why I always have been honest with you, the listener, when it comes to this stuff, that I do feel. And I had a lot of Hawks fans angry with me and have had various fandoms angry with me because I have always promised you that I'll try to ask those hard questions despite all that. And I will try to be conscious of that and never be waving pom-poms and never be cheerleading to the point where I let things, where I miss stuff. And I don't think I have, and I think there will be a time. And I always say, if you want to, and as some of this stuff was going on, the other Blackhawks controversies in the wake of the equipment manager suicide and everything that went down there, and I said, if you ever want to talk to me about it with the real stuff, I'm happy to. Or reports of a fight and then a police report disappears. When that stuff happens, when a police report that was written up just all of a sudden vanishes into thin air, that stuff happens. I'll talk about it. And I like to think that I continue to ask the hardest possible questions. I don't know. Could I have submitted a Freedom of Information Act request? I guess. Could I always probably have done a little bit more? Yeah. And I don't know. But Layla, you're right to ask that. Sure. Of course I'm getting worked over a little bit. And we all need to be conscious of that.
I think what upsets me a lot of times when it comes to this stuff, because I, through a friend of a friend, I came across an account of somebody who was at Michigan State, and they talked about being guilty for not knowing. And I said, usually they were involved in the Nassar case to a degree that I can't explain off the top of my head, and on the victim side. And I said, the reason you feel so duped is because those who need your trust the most work the hardest for it.
There's a lot to that. There's a lot to that. And it makes you question a lot of things, as it should.
The nature of manipulation is so deep that that's part of the problem, is the shame you feel having believed a person like that. But in reality, that's a master skill set of somebody like that.
That's Layla Rahimi. I'm Dan Bernstein. We are Bernstein and Rahimi, weekdays, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to noon. Mike Florio joins us next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.